So let's discuss the idea of Kriyas HaTorah in particular. We'll be learning about whether or not the person getting Aliyah, the Ola, should be reading along with the Baal Kori at the same time. So the Gemara Megillah, Daf Chaf Alpha and Beis, tells us that when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, Echad Kori ve'Echad Metargim, one person should do the reading, one person should be reading the Targum, Ubelvad Shloyeh Echad Kori ve'Shnayim Metargimim. So long as one person doesn't read and two people reading the Targum. You can't have two people reading the Targum. And the reason is because you're going to get confused, as Rashi quotes, that two voices, Tre Kali Lo Mishtamai, you can't hear, you can't distinguish between two different sounds. So Rashi points out, even though the Gemara doesn't mention about two people reading the Torah, it just says two people can't read the Targum. Rashi says, Kol Shekein She'ein Shnayim Koren. Certainly two people should not read the Torah together, which of course is going to be a big question. How come nowadays we'll see, we'll go through the halacha, that the suggestion is that the one getting the aliyah, in fact, does read alongside with the Baal Kori. That is, isn't that considered Trei Kali Lo Mishtamai? Two people, two voices cannot be heard. So before we go through that, Tosis points out a very interesting discussion based on the last eight psukim of the Torah. The Gemara tells us in a couple of places, Baal Basar Menachos, that a yachid, an individual, is kari osan eight psukim. Those last shmona psukim, one individual is going to read it. So what exactly is pshat yachid, that one individual reads the eight psukim? Firstly, before you even address that, what's unique about the last eight psukim of the Torah? Why is it special? Why is it any different than the rest of the Torah? Right.
With tears, without tears.
Right, so one opinion is that Yeshua is the one who wrote the last eight psukim. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu can't write his own death, so that's. But you're also right. But so one opinion is Yeshua wrote it, which makes the eight psukim different than the rest of the Torah. But the other opinion is that Moshe, in fact, wrote it, but he wrote it. He wrote it in tears, exactly. So tears. What the way Pshat usually is with tears is he took his tears and he wrote the eight psukim. But there's a fascinating gra. The gra says, you ever hear this gra before? It says bidimadima is how you spell tears. Dalad mem ayin hey. But the way the Gemara says actually says dalad mem ayin. Misses the last hey is missing from the Torah, from the word of the Gemara. Dema, lashon dimua, means is a mixture. So the Gemara is a big chiddush how Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah in general. The Gemara in Gittin says it's a machlokas whether Megillah nitna or chasuma nitna. How was the Torah given? Meaning when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, did every single parak that came by, he wrote it down as the story unfolded? Or was he given at a few different junctions in the Torah, big events? Kabbalah Satorah, Parshas Yisro, he was given a lot of sections and he wrote, and then later on at Arvos Moav, he wrote another big section. And there's like three big events. He wrote the Torah Chasuma. Chasuma, Chasuma means to really sign off big sections. Or he wrote Megillah Megillah as each small Megillah, each small story unfolded, then he wrote it. So the Groz Mechadesh said, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim. They're both true. He wrote Chasuma Chasuma, he wrote Megillah Megillah. Meaning what? Moshe Rabbeinu was given the entire Torah in sections. But he was told what letters to write, but he wasn't told which words. He wrote everything as one long run-on sentence, one word, just letters, without spaces. That's Chasuma. Kabbalah Satorah, he was given a huge chunk of the Torah to write, he wrote it down as one long word. But as each story unfolded, he looked back and decoded, oh, this is what happened, so that should be Vayomer, and that should be Moshe, and that should be S, and he started to break up the words into separate parts. That's Megillah, Megillah. So really, they're both true, Elu ve'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim. He was given Chasuma, Chasuma, and given Megillah, Megillah. So says the Gra, when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the last eight psukim, Bidema, not Dima as a tear, but Dema as a mixture, he wrote the last eight psukim as one long word without spaces. It was mixed together. He didn't decode it. He didn't decipher it because he didn't know what was going to happen. So really Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, Bidema, in a mixture, and Yeshua afterwards came and dissected it and separated the words. So that too was Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So in light of those last eight psukim, which are unique, so the Gemara says, since it wasn't written in the typical way, a yachid is able to read these psukim. So one pshat is that one person reads it, which implies that the rest of the Torah, two people are allowed to read other parts of the Torah, meaning at the same time. So Tosafot says it doesn't make any sense. Our Gemara, Megillah Chaf Alef Amud Bey, says two people can't read Targum together, and certainly two people can't read Kriyas HaTorah together. So how come the Gemara implies that only the last eight psukim can be read by a yachid, but all the other psukim in the Torah can be read by two people at the same time? Doesn't make any sense. And so for that reason, he rejects that pshat in the Gemara about the eight psukim. And he says, you know what it means that Yachid reads it? That you can't split up the Aliyah into two. Only one person could read those eight psukim. You can't break it up, one Aliyah, four psukim, one Aliyah, four psukim. A Yachid, one person has to read that. It's a unit that's unbreakable. As opposed to the other section of the Torah, you can always break them up into multiple Aliyahs. But in terms of people reading at the same time, throughout the entire Torah, throughout all of Chumash, only one person is allowed to read at a time. You can't have two people reading at the same time. So that's Pshat in Tosfos.
Even if there's a bar mitzvah, a lot of Bali Simcha, you can't split up the eight
psukim. Exactly, right. You can't split up no matter what. I don't think there ever is going to be bar mitzvah.
How big the gevira is.
No matter. But what would happen? Zos HaBracha ends up being on Simchas Torah. So I've never. I guess in theory it could happen, a bar mitzvah on Simchas Torah. I've never seen it. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But exactly. According to the way we paskin, you cannot split up those eight psukim into two. So now that, of course, is going to be a big question onto the practice that we have nowadays about the Ola, who does, in fact, the Aliyah, does read alongside with the Baal Kori. How is that permitted? So there's an amazing Ran, which is a very important Yesod in general. It's a dangerous one. It's a slippery slope. But the Ran asks the question, how is it possible, number one here, how is it possible, Afagav, Diha Idna, Kari Tre, even though nowadays two people read, both the Baal Kori and the one getting the Aliyah read at the same time, the Li Olam Kare Shliach Tzibor, which is the Baal Kare, he always reads it, Behade Hahud Kare, along with the guy who gets the Aliyah. How is that allowed? So he says, Shalo Levayesh Misha Eino Yodea, not to embarrass the one who doesn't know how to read. So now, what's the lacha? Really, in the previous times, whoever got the Aliyah was expected to know how to learn. So he'd be called up, and he would get an Aliyah, and he would read the Torah. Nowadays, most of us are not that proficient in reading, and therefore we have the Baal Kore who reads it instead of us. Why? Not to embarrass the guys who don't know. But the ones who do know, or if you're able to read, you should read along with the Baal Kore, meaning two people should really be reading. So now, what's amazing is, even though the halach is one person should read, so we're using a very important yesod. In order to avoid embarrassment, we're overriding the halacha. Halacha is two people can't read because trei koli lo mishtame. But to avoid someone's embarrassment, we're able to override the halacha, which is a very important but a slippery slope. Does that mean every time a person's embarrassed, we could violate halacha?
Why is that such a slippery slope? Is the Ran assuming that both people are reading where everyone on the shul could hear, and the Ola is not reading quietly?
Yeah, I think at this point,
Ran is assuming that it's
that's what sounds
voice for both of them. Just and wouldn't the Baal Kore get confused? Because someone else is reading like almost the same thing at the same time.
It could be
exactly the same thing at exactly the same time. So,
well, it is confusing, but he doesn't say quiet. And if it was so quiet, so then this wouldn't be a concern.
Right. So he's assuming that both of them are
open. Right.
And people in the shul, Shnemish Kali Lo Mishtami, is a concern because everyone in the shul can hear both of them.
I think so. I otherwise it wouldn't be a shaila. If the guy is reading quietly, like the Rush suggests, and the Shulchan Aruch is going to suggest. And there's no Shiloh to deal with. So, in my mind, I think the two are reading out loud. But I think he says that the fact that the guy is going to be embarrassed is more important than the Trei Kali Lo Mishtami, which, okay, that now that's why it's a slippery slope. Because then every single time a guy is embarrassed, so the guy is embarrassed because he didn't buy matzah for Pesach. So we should let the guy buy that, you know, non-shmur matzah and eat, which might really be chametz, but it looks like matzah. So the guy doesn't get embarrassed. So he could buy some chametz type of brand. Of course not. So obviously there's a geder of when we could apply this din of to avoid embarrassment, we let something happen. So I heard once a story, it doesn't really fit out so well, but either way, this is a very slippery slope. Doesn't mean we can't apply it, but you have to be someone with big shoulders to be able to apply the din of Shelo Levayesh Misha'eno Yodea. Now, the Rush has a slightly different explanation and also reason for the explanation. Look what the Rush writes here. I don't know if I bolded it in yours. I don't think I did. But if you read two lines down in the Rush where it says Mashinagu, it's very different concern he's addressing. He says Mashinagu ha'inna sheshliach tzibor kore. He's not concerned why two people. I mean, the Ran was trying to figure out why do two people read nowadays. The Rush says, why does the Shliach Tzibor read instead of the guy getting the Aliyah? Not that two people are reading. He's not addressing two people reading at all. He wants to know why the Shliach Tzibor, the Baal Kori, is reading instead of the Ola. And that, which makes a lot more sense, which is not a slippery slope, that Hainu Shalom Levayish. That's more like Binyamin's, I think, answering that in order not to embarrass the guy getting the Aliyah, we tell the Baal Kori to read it, which is not so much of a big deal to switch readers. That's not so much of a concern. You're not violating halacha. You're going against a certain minhag. But trei kalei lamishtame, to override that for embarrassment, that's a big chiddush. But to switch who's going to be reading, that's not as great of a chiddush, and it would make sense not to embarrass the guy getting the aliyah. We could let the shliach tzibor / baal kori read instead. It brings interesting raya from the Mishnah in Bikurim. Mishnah Bikurim talks about that when a person, a farmer, has the first fruits of the season. Bikurim applies to the first fruits of the Shivas Haminim. So he has Shivas Haminim, he sees the grapes beginning to grow, he ties a little red string around it, he sees the pomegranates starting to grow, he ties a red string, and as the seasons go on, very appropriate for Tu B'Shvat this coming week, so then as he sees the fruits when they fully develop, then he takes those fruits that had the red string, and he brings each one of the Shivas Haminim, whatever he has, and puts it in a basket on his head, and he walks through Shalayim, and when he gets there, he has to read what's called Mikra Bikurim. There's a whole recitation that you have to say, the Psukim in Parshas Kisavo. Let's say a farmer doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to read the Psukim. He can't read Parshas Kisavo. What's he supposed to do? So the Mishnah says, those who know, read, and those who don't know, someone will read on his behalf. So why? So then they made a takana that everyone should have a person read for them. We don't want to embarrass those individuals who don't know how to read. So that sounds like a great raya. So too, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, not to embarrass those who can't read the Torah, we always have the Baal Kori reading. Just like by the Bikurim, one person reads for all the farmers, not to embarrass anyone. So we see there is a model of to avoid embarrassment, we could push on the obligation of who should be doing the reading. Now that Rush, yeah.
Why, and maybe it's Mizman, is that like, why is such a bush? Mizman, is that like, most people can't read from the Torah today. But most people can't. So maybe they can have skills that they try, but like, but no one would ever say that it's an embarrassment that I can't read from the Torah. And so like, what's the, I don't know, I think most people would say that. So what's...
We can't really appreciate that because we're not experiencing what's like, you know, at those times when everyone else did read. Let's say, nowadays might be different, but let's say back then, there was a certain point where everyone knew, and then people started to not know as much. So that first, you know, generation, where a few guys didn't know anymore, those guys probably felt embarrassed. So you're right, nowadays, I could be, you know, I could see myself being embarrassed not knowing how to read. If everyone, half the shul is reading and I don't know how to read, I could see that being embarrassing. I think it might be so.
But does somebody this still apply, though? Is one is that where it's not a busha anymore?
Once they made this takana, so then it's in place. Okay. It's in place, yeah. So now the Rush doesn't like this comparison to Bikurim. The Rush says, I understand the case of Bikurim, why we'd want someone to read on behalf of all the farmers. Because if the guy's embarrassed and he's forced to read it on his own and can't, he might just hold back of doing the mitzvah entirely. He might just show up, he won't bring Bikurim, and we're going to lose out on the mitzvah. So in order to avoid that from happening, of there not being a mitzvah bikurim, we made sure that one person reads on behalf of all the farmers bringing bikurim. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, we don't care if the guy's embarrassed. Okay, so what's going to do if he's embarrassed? So what? We're still going to have Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. We're not losing any mitzvah. We're not going to have mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. So what's going to happen? This guy won't get an aliyah. And at best, he'll go back home. He'll learn how to read, how to read Torah. And then in anything, it's going to inspire him to learn more. There's no risk involved here at all. So that can't be the reason why we have the Shliach Tzibur reading instead of the Ola. Because the fact he's embarrassed is only going to help him. It's not going to go against him. So what's the reason why the Rush says the practice nowadays is that Baal Kori reads and not the Ola? He says because it might come to fighting. It's going to lead to different people fighting. And because not everyone's going to be a bucky. And one guy's going to say, oh, I'm a bucky. I know how to read properly. And we've heard people who land who don't know what they're doing. And it happens. So I even, you know, being in the background, I find that from people who daven for the Amud as well. Many people like to daven for the Amud. And they'll even ask to daven for the Amud. But for various reasons, they don't want them to daven, whether they're too long or they're not good. So it becomes a very, very sensitive topic about who's going to lane, who's going to daven for the Amud. So in order to avoid all the fighting, So they just said, let's have the Baal Kori read. Just the Baal Kori read, and this way no one Aliyah guy will end up reading the Parsha. So it's not because of embarrassing, it's because it's going to lead to fighting. So that makes a little more sense, again, in terms of slippery slope, that when it leads to Shalom Bayis in a global scale and the shul, so we do find other areas in Shas where we do allow to push away the halacha to avoid any fighting. So for example, the Gemara related to Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara really says, who should really be getting the first Aliyah? Mikra din, the greatest Talmud Chacham, should be getting the first Aliyah every single day, not the Kohen. Or even a Kohen who's a Talmud Chacham should really be getting the first Aliyah. But Kohen who's an Am Haaretz shouldn't be getting the Aliyah. Problem is, who's going to figure out who's a Talmud Chacham, who's an Am Haaretz? The guy in the corner thinks he's a Talmud Chacham, but the fact is he doesn't really know much. He thinks he knows a lot. So he gets insulted because he doesn't get the Aliyah. We're going to give it to the Levi in the back, who's a Talmud Chacham, or the Yisrael, who's a Talmud Chacham. So the Gemara says, in order to avoid the fighting, we said all Kohanim go first, regardless of their stature. Kohanim go first, Levim second, followed by Yisrael. So we see a precedence for Osali and Suye leading to fighting can change around some of the halachas here as well. If it's leading to fighting, we just let the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Kori lane, and we don't let the Ola lane. Fine. So that's the first part about the Baal Kori reading instead of the Ola. But what's the guy who gets the Aliyah? What's he supposed to do while he's up there? So the Rush concludes that Mikol Makom Gam Ha'omed Likros Yikra Benachas. The one who's called up for the Aliyah should also read Benachas, means quietly, softly. Ubedukduk im Hashliach Tzibur, very carefully, precise with the Baal Kori. Shelo Tehe Bracha Levatala. Because he says a bracha. He says Asher Bracha Ban Mikol Amim. And if he's not going to read, he's saying a bracha and it's not chal on anything. The Olus Hashem Yodei Likros. Those who don't know how to read, and those who don't know how to read and can't follow along, shouldn't be getting Aliyah, because his bracha will be on nothing. He can't say a bracha when the Baal Kori is busy reading. So that's how the Rush concludes.
So, is there more embarrassment? I mean like, the situation is mine is as well, that many people don't know how to read.
No, but in this case, we're talking about the guy reading quietly.
Right, no, but I'm saying, but he's saying it's a bracha levatala, so like that means that the person shouldn't even be called up to begin with.
Correct, that's correct. So the Gabbai knows, who knows how to read, who doesn't know how to read, let's say. And then he makes sure not to call someone up who doesn't know how to read.
It's more bizarre that the person would be like, why am I not reading Aliyah?
He doesn't know, because unless you're a Kohen a Levi, a Yisrael doesn't get an Aliyah that often. Every so often... So people may not recognize it. If it's a small shul of 10 people, then people, why is that guy never getting an Aliyah? Fine. Let's say a shul of 100 people. So it may not be as noticeable. I hear what you're saying. But I'm not sure if that's embarrassing. Not getting called up, is that embarrassing? It just might be bothersome to the guy. He's not being, but they're not embarrassed. Embarrassed when you're up in public and you can't do something that you're supposed to be doing. He just might be very upset and go to another shul who might have a more makel position. But he's not going to be embarrassed by not being called up, I don't think. So the Beis Yosef argues. The Beis Yosef says that he heard, he found a Zohar, and he did some research, and he quoted the Zohar here. Zohar is always very hard to understand. It's Aramaic, a hard Aramaic, that the person, the Ola, should not be reading alongside the Baal Kori. While the Rush says the Baal Kori should read, and the Ola should also, Beis Yosef says the Ola should be silent. Get up there, get the Leah, say the Bracha, and be completely silent. Now, there is a fascinating point in general. There's a big discussion in the poskim whether or not Zohar versus poskim, which overrides which one. And the Beis Yosef says very strong language here. V'cheven l'divrei Zohar os aser likros ela echa levad. Only one person could be reading, the Baal Kori, that is. V'achshav shenagu shlishliach tzibur hu Baal Kori ha'ole aser likros. The ola is aser to read, even to whisper, at least in the stage. Don't the poskim, the Russian, others say that the Ola should also read, so it shouldn't be Brach Lotala? Vimlo Yikare Kasu Habi Brach Lotala? He says, amazing line here in the Beis Yosef, Lo Shef Kinan Divrei Zohar Mipnei Divrei Poskim. The Zohar overrides, it trumps the Divrei Poskim. The Ode, moreover, the Ha'iklamemar, the Chol Sha'ola Shomea, Mashashliach Tzibor Kore. So when the Ola says the Bracha, if he hears what the Shliach Tzibur says, he's mechavein libo ledvarav, it's going to be shomea ke'one. So the two very important lines here of the Shulchan Aruch. Number one is Zohar overrides the poskim. Darche Moshe argues, Darche Moshe says, doesn't make any sense. We say Poskim, override the Zohar. That's one debate. Which is greater, Mekubalim or Poskim? So Beis Yosef, who lived in Tzfas, who lived with the Arizal, he went with the Zohar. The Ramah, who lived elsewhere in Europe, he went with the Poskim over the Zohar. Now this comes up in many areas. One area that comes to mind is a similar discussion whether a person should daven out loud or quietly. We discussed this once Friday night here in Shul, that according to the Zohar, a person should daven quietly. No words should be audible, even to yourself. And the poskim say the words should be audible. You should be able to hear what you're saying. So, same discussion. So, the Mishnah Berurah says that some poskim go with the Zohar, others go with the other poskim. Same idea. But the other point is, yeah.
I told my son Yosef David what we're doing today, and he also thought Shemek Ona.
He thought Shemek Ona wins?
No, I'm just saying, I didn't even mention the Svaras. Ah. He just thought, like, oh, you shouldn't have to read because Shemek Ona.
Very good. So let's discuss that point.
Maybe Bracha might disagree, but
okay. So that's fine. So very good. So that's, I guess, intuitive to think that Shemek Ona should be effective. So the Beis Yosef thinks that the Shemek Ona should work, that the Ola says the Bracha, and as long as he pays attention to the words of the Baal Kore, Shemek Ona, it's no longer considered a Bracha Levatala. But the Rush argued. The Rush says Shemek Ona won't work. Why won't Shemek Ona work? If all over Shas Shemek Ona, in fact, does work, how come it doesn't work in this context? So Amy Bracha has an amazing discussion. So he says that he first gets into the discussion whether or not Shemek Ka'oneh is Ka'oneh Mamish or not. That's what we always find out. When you hear someone speaking, is it as if you're actually saying those same words or is it not? So he concludes that it has to be, according to the Rush, that Shemek Ka'oneh is not Ka'oneh Mamish. It's not as if you are reading itself. And therefore, the Rush says, if you say Bracha and the Baal Kori reads it, that's not going to help your bracha. It's not going to help your bracha. Your bracha needs to be chal on something that you're actually saying. And since Shemek Ona is not Ka'oneh Mamish, that bracha won't work. That's the Rosh Hashita. But the Shulchan Aruch says, no, Shemek Ona is Ka'oneh Mamish, like you're actually saying the words. And therefore, when you say the bracha and you hear the Baal Kore, it's considered as if you are saying the actual words. Now, the big nafkmini they always bring is the Machlokas Rashi and Tosvos. The person is in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And this chazan's already going to Chazar Sashatz. And it gets to Kedusha, what are you supposed to do? So one opinion is, you're supposed to stop and listen, pay attention to Kedusha. And the other opinion says, no, if you stop and listen, that's going to be a hefsik. So one opinion thinks, by you listening, Shemek Ona, it's like you're saying Kedusha in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei, which is going to be a hefsik, so you should continue going on, ignoring the Kedusha. The other opinion, I think it's Rashi, says, no, you're allowed to listen. It's not a hefsik. Shemek Ona is Shemeya. It's as if you're saying, but it's not as if you're really saying the words. It's not really going to serve as a hefsek. So that's the classic nafkamina. There's many nafkaminas, of course. So here as well, yeah.
Is there any way to say, on the side that it's not Ka'oneh Mamish, is there any way to say that it's, that makes it not a bracha level? I know that Emek Bracha would disagree, but there any side to say, or is there anyone else who says that it's not a bracha levatala on Shemek Ona, even if it's not Ka'oneh Mamish, because you get credit, get credit for saying it. So the bracha is on my getting credit for saying it.
I think
who says that?
I didn't do enough research to know of anyone, but mitzvah svar, I think you're saying what would be correct. I think it makes sense that what Bidaman is saying is that let's say you assume Shemek Ona is not Ka'oneh Mamish. You just get credit with saying something, even though it's not as if you said it.
I think bracha is very narrow. He's saying that only if you have a mitzvah that you need to be yotzei yedei chovaso. That's the only time you can say Shemek Ona, but assuming it's not Ka'oneh Mamish.
Yeah, I think you can say that in theory. I didn't, again, do enough research whether someone actually says that, but it does make sense. So now, according to the Emek Bracha's understanding, that the Rush says the Shemek Ka'oneh doesn't work. When I say Bracha and the Baal Kori reads, that's not going to work. So now he asks the question. So now he says, what should happen? The Ola should whisper the words. He should read Balachash. So he says the problem is the Bracha is on Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. If I'm whispering it, no one is hearing me, my bracha is going on my personal reading. It's not going on a Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. The bracha isn't matching up with what's being accomplished here. How can you say bracha on whispering certain words? And moreover, he says, why doesn't it work? why can't I say the bracha and the Baal Kori do the reading? If I were to appoint someone to do bedikas chametz for me, I could say the bracha and he could do the bedika. We have many examples where you could separate the bracha from the actual maisa. So how come the Rosh isn't satisfied with that in this particular case? So Eimek Bracha is mechadesh, according to the Rosh. The nature of Birchas HaTorah on the Kriyas HaTorah is not actually on the Kriyas HaTorah. The bracha that you're saying, which itself is a whole other discussion, which we're not going to get involved with right now, but the bracha at Kriyas HaTorah is actually a bracha on the Limud HaTorah. When you get an Aliyah, you're saying it for your own personal Limud HaTorah. And therefore, that's why if I'm whispering, that's Limud HaTorah. I can hear myself whispering. When it comes to learning in general, he quotes later on, the Nishmas Adam, that Birchas HaTorah is only on Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Leilokeinu. Havu, which rather Ekra, Ekra is when you call out the word. The Birchas HaTorah is only Chal on a Kriya. You have to be able to hear the words that you're saying. It's not Chal on a hearer. If you're thinking about it, that's not when the Bracha is Chal on. You have to actually say the words. So once you establish that Birchas HaTorah is for Limud HaTorah, so all you have to do is whisper the words, and I can't be Yosei with that guy, because whenever there's a mitzvah beguf, I cannot appoint a shliach for tefillin. I can have you wear my tefillin for me. I can have you learn for me. So just because I'm saying the bracha, him reading it is not going to be kim of limud haTorah for me. Limud haTorah has to be begufo in my own body. I have to be doing it. So for that reason, the Rosh says, Shemek on it doesn't work. I have to be doing the reading. It's belachash, even though no one hears it, because the birchas haTorah at the bima is actually on my own personal limud haTorah. That's the chiddush, how the Eimek Bracha figures out the pshat in the Rosh. Halacha ma'aseh had to be paskin. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, this is number 6. Shulchan Aruch writes in the Or Chaim, Hilchos Kriyas Sefer Torah, Simen Kuf Mem Aleph. He writes that Lo Yikare Shnaim, two people shouldn't read the Torah. Ela Ha'ola Kare Vishnech Tzibar Shosek. Either the Ola gets the Aliyah, he reads, and the Chazan, the Baal Kari, is quiet, or the opposite, that the Shlech Tzibar is Kare, Ve'ola Lo Yikare B'kol Ram. And the Baal Aliyah doesn't read it all. Umikomakom says the Shulchan Aruch, Tarachahu Likros im Hashliach Tzibur. The Ola should read alongside the Baal Kori, Kidei Shalotei Birchas Levatala. Otherwise, his bracha might be a bracha levatala. El Shetarach Likros Benachas Shalo Yashmir LaOznav. It should be very, very quietly as to not disturb the Baal Kori or anyone else. We see that Shulchan Aruch does concede in the end that he says, even though the Zohar says he should be completely silent, if you whisper it in such a way, he doesn't think that violates the Zohar, and you could accomplish all the shittas together, avoiding Bracha Levatala, and being silent enough that it doesn't go against the Zohar. Now, the Taz goes against this, though. The Taz says, the problem with this is, the Shulchan Aruch says you have to read alongside. The Ola has to read alongside. Because if I say the Bracha, and he does the only reading, it's a Bracha Levatala. Taz says, what do you mean? We have examples where the Yushalmi says, Zeh Korei Zeh Mevarech. That one person could say the Bracha, the other guy reads it, and the Ola doesn't need to read at all. And the fact is, a Summa, a person who's blind, who is not able to read, a Summa can't read. He can't read the Torah. And even if you knew it by heart, you can't read the Torah Baal Peh. You can't read Psukim Baal Peh. So the fact that the Summa, the Yushalmi says, rather the Yushalmi says, a Summa can get an Aliyah. He could say the Bracha, and the Shliach Tzibur reads it. And the Vush writes that that was a practice in front of many Gedolim to give a Summa an Aliyah. So clearly you can have a disconnect between the Bracha and the actual Kriya. That's what he concludes. So what you have to say is Pshat must be that this idea, those who think a Summa can get an Aliyah, the Bracha must not be on the personal Limud HaTorah. Has to be on the Bracha, on the Tzibur hearing it. So if Summa says the Bracha, and the Sheikh Tzibur reads it, the Bracha is on the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. That's what you have to assume according to the Taz. Now the Prima Gadim argues. The Prima Gadim says that a Summa, in fact, cannot get an Aliyah. Because a Summa is not able to do Shomei Ka'ona. A Shomei Ka'ona works only if you yourself are able to be Ona, in theory, if you could read it. But since a Summa is not able to read from the Torah, so then you can't apply Shomei Ka'ona. So for example, let's say a person's an Elam, he can't speak, he's mute. So if he can't speak, so then if he hears someone, you can never say Shomei Ka'ona for him, because he can never own it himself, so Shomei Ka'ona won't work for him either. So too, when it comes to a Summa reading the Torah, since he can't read from the Torah in general, let's say for Kiddush. He could say Kiddush, so he could be Shomei Ka'ona. But since Kriyas Torah requires reading inside the words, which he can't see and read, so Shemaya Ka'ona can't apply to him if he can't do it independently. If you can't accomplish it independently, so then you cannot accomplish it through the mechanism of Shemaya Ka'ona. So the Prima Gadim argues and says a Suma, in fact, cannot get an Aliyah. That's what he says. So it ended up being a big discussion about the Din of a Suma. So again, the points to keep in mind here are a couple. Number one is, what's the nature of Birchas HaTorah? Is it for the personal Limud HaTorah, or is it on the Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur? Number two is, Shemeh Ka'ona, is it Ka'ona Mamish, or is it just getting credit for it, and perhaps you don't even need it? I mean, what would the Taz say? The Taz says that the Summa can get an Aliyah, and he brings Raya's for this. So he has to assume two things. Number one is that the bracha he's saying is not on the Limud HaTorah. The bracha is on the Tzibur, so the Summa could say that. But what about the Shemeh Ka'ona? What's he going to say about Shemeh Ka'ona? The Summa cannot, the Prima Gadim points out that the Summa himself can't read. He can't read the words. He can't see the words. So how are you able to accomplish Shemeh Ka'ona for the Summa?
Is it because it has to be Minaksav?
It has to be Minaksav. So I think the Taz would have to say, you don't need Shemeh Ka'ona. You don't need to accomplish that point. It could be. You don't. It's very possible that the bracha, right? You're representing the rest of the tzibur. When you're saying the bracha, it's not that you need to shemeh ka'ona. You're saying a bracha on behalf of the tzibur, and then the tzibur is going to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. So it's not on your personal listening. It's on behalf of the tzibur. So now the problem with that. So therefore, you don't need shemeh ka'ona for the Summa. The problem is, however, how could the Summa represent the Tzibur? We have a klal, if a person's eino chai bedavar, you can't be moti someone who is chai bedavar. Let's say, for example, a woman in, what's a good example of lulav. A woman's not chayv in lulav. She's able to, but she's not chayv in lulav. So a woman cannot be moti any of us. We're chayv. We have a different level of chiyuvim. So, what?
Just in the bracha.
Exactly, in the bracha. So then how could a Summa, who seemingly isn't Chayiv, how could he represent the entire Tzibor who are Chayiv?
Why is he not Chayiv?
Ah.
Because in general a Summa is Pater for Mitzvahs, or because Onos or Hlana Patre? You mean he's just as an individual he's...
So I think on both accounts. Number one is, personally a Summa is Pater no Mitzvahs. So he's on the level of a woman in that regard. Number two is, in this particular case, since he can't read it, the words in the Torah, he can't represent the tzibur who can read it, or who are chayiv. So again, how could the Taz suggest the Summa could say bracha, even though he can't see? So I think the answer is, it gets into the nature of Kriyas HaTorah in general. When there's a chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, is that chiyuv on each individual, or is the chiyuv on a tzibur? So on the individual level, you're right, the Summa is pater. He's Eino Chai B'davar, he can't see, so he can't read. But that's only if you assume that Kriyas HaTorah is an individual Chiyuv B'chol Yachid V'Yachid. But if you assume that it's a Chiyuv on the Tzibur, and no one would say that the Summa is not part of the Tzibur, I would imagine. He's part of the Tzibur. Women are also part of the Tzibur. Children are part of the Tzibur. We're all part of the Tzibur. Once you view this as a global obligation, so then I think the Summa has the same exact Chiyuv as being part of the Tzibur as do you and I. In which case, we're all at the same level as Chai B'davar al Tzibur, in which case she can, I believe, Lanis Daiti, that according to the Taz, that's why Summa can be Motzi the Rabbim, because he is part of the Tzibur. And the individual level, you're right, the Summa is part of the mitzvahs. On an individual level, the Summa can't see, and therefore he can't read on the same level as we can. But we're not talking about the individual level, we're talking about the Tzibur, the communal level, in which case his Chiv is the same level, which is Pshat in the Taz. So we have to understand this Taz, because this is how we paskin. I've seen people Summa get an Aliyah. So therefore, the pshat in the Taz, I think, is that since the Summa is in the same level as any of us on the Tzibur, on a communal level, for that reason he could be Motzi other people, even though he can't apply Shemeh Ka'ona, and even though he's part of a mitzvah, I think that would be pshat.
There's a question on that. I don't know something specific to ask it from, but I'm pretty sure that I've heard over the years that women are not part of the Tzibur. You know, meaning like if a woman davens with a minion, that it's not considered like tefillah b'tzibor. Like, there's no such thing as tefillah b'tzibor for a woman because she can't be counted as
sure.
a minyan.
You're right.
So then maybe she's not part of the tzibor. But on that, so I don't know. Okay, we use okay. You know, if that's true, then would you say the same thing about a suma? That if he doesn't have to be part, I mean, can he even be counted in the minyan? Or I mean, if a suma could be counted in the minyan, then
right.
I guess that he could be. But
right, we possibly can be. So I think you're making a correct point. In terms of women, really, you're right, women are not really part of the tzibor, neither are children for that matter. But a summa, I guess I have to do some more research. I believe a summa is considered part of the minyan. We do count him as a tenth man. So I imagine that would mean he is part of the tzibor. So now it would be interesting. So regular people are chayv b'yachin, chayv b'tzibor. And then women of the other extreme are not chayv on the tzibor level. A summa would be pater on the yachin level, but chayv on the tzibor level. That's what would come out of this chiddush. I think it's true. I guess I would have to bring more ra'ayas for this, but I think your point is correct that women are not chayv on a communal level. Okay, so we'll stop here. I'm not sure what sugya we would do next, but I'll find something whatever comes up next in the sugyas.